You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hit it. This ain't no disco.
Live from Los Angeles, California, this is the Todd Albaugh Show.
This is L.A.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, live from L.A., it's Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. We are live from Los Angeles, California. Look at this, folks. We're right on the beach here at Hermosa Beach, just a couple of blocks down from our great new official sports bar. We're here in Los Angeles of the Underground Pub in L.A. Mr. Zomer's high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. It is Thursday, the 26th of September. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Mr. Zomer's, I understand it's beautiful fall weather back in Madison as well.
Oh, absolutely. And it looks like, I mean, I guess I can't tell by looking at the picture, but it looks like you're not too toasty out there.
No, it's a perfect day, as a matter of fact, and it's a little overcast. I think the sun's going to come out, much like yesterday. By the end of the show, we'll have beautiful sun here, and so really happy to be here and happy to have you along as well. We are joined here at our nice digs right on Hermosa Beach by none other than our special guest this show. He is Kelly Call. Of course, he's been on a couple of times here recently, one of the producers of Just a Bit Outside, the movie, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, of course, former president of CBS. And for purposes today, Kelly, you're also a coffee guy. Well, I'm going to bring your mic on.
I am here to help with the coffee, Todd. I'll just keep bringing it.
Well, we're happy to be here, and thanks so much for taking time to join us. You've been on a couple other times, and it's just cool to be able to be out here in your neck of the woods, out in L.A. Of course, you're a Wisconsin guy from growing up in Burlington, but how long have you been out in L.A. now?
God, probably, well, I came out in 90, so...
Oh, yeah.
Graduated UW and jumped in the car the following summer. So
really, you came out right after college then?
Pretty much. I went to came out to go to grad school because I did not do the thing I tell students now. I'm like, you know, do the internships because I graduated, and I'm like, I was qualified to do absolutely nothing. So. So I had to get into grad school to make connections and kind of. Start learning how to work the Hollywood entertainment thing a little bit.
Right. What was your first job out here?
I was an intern at a place called Lorimar Television.
Oh, yeah,
remember
absolutely.
Lorimar,
yeah.
They did Dallas, Knott's Landing, Full House, Family Matters. They were a massive studio for quite a long time. And I was a research intern. Mm-hmm. And then that parlayed into a junior level job. But when that day came, it was like, I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid to work in Hollywood.
I remember I was a huge Dallas fan. And at the end of the credits, you know, was it Leonard Katzman or Philip Capice, executive producers of the show?
Lorimar Television.
Yeah, Lorimar Television.
It was cool.
It was fantastic. Well, I appreciate you spending a little bit of time. Let's start with the movie, of course. And we had Brewer's hat, Brewer's shirt on here for those watching on the stream on YouTube. If you're not, check out the volleyball, folks. It'll be kind of playing as we go along back here on the beach. And I want to start with this movie, Kelly, because, again, congratulations to you and your production partner, Sean Hannish, also the director. It's just going gangbusters, and I can tell you, for friends and family up in the Eau Claire area, they're ecstatic that this movie is expanding to other parts of Wisconsin this weekend.
Well, that was something we heard from. We're beyond grateful to the nice people at Marcus Theaters, mm-hmm. and they kind of put us in around the state, but it still left a couple gaps. So this weekend we're headed to Cedarburg, Portage, Eau Claire, Rhinelander, Bayview, and even Country Club,
Illinois.
Country Club Estates, Illinois.
I didn't even know that existed.
I didn't either. But so we're, we're the people have spoken, and you know, we've heard them, and we pushed into other theaters. It's been an incredibly rewarding experience. I think Sean and I both thought the movie was pretty good, But I don't think we had any idea the just kind of the impact it would have on people and the notes and letters we get, and having snuck into a few screenings, the reactions of people afterward. You know, we got people like, you know, my age taking their young kids, and then you've also got people maybe a little younger than me, 30s, 40s, they're taking their parents who remember it. So there's this incredible generational thing going on that's been incredibly gratifying.
I went for the second time on Monday, and went with, I was saying in Spanish, mi compadres, the parents of my godsons. There's no word like that, no English word for the parents of your god. In Spanish, it's just one word, compadre. Anyway, I went with them on Monday, and I said this on social. One of the cool things about it on Monday was it was just fun to see other people, to take other people with you and see their reaction to it. And it was just that, again, I keep saying this to folks, it's only in theaters right now, and go while you can to experience this in the theater, because my friends Kurt and Florsey said the same thing afterwards. To be in that room, have people applaud, to cheer, yes, we're sniffling together at one point as well. But that share an experience, Kelly.
I think that communal experience, that's another thing we didn't quite expect. I mean, the night we did the premiere, you know, you anticipate where you think the audience might react strongly to certain pieces. Mm-hmm. But when they started, like, you know, somebody hits a home run and the audience starts clapping, right. We're like, we there's no way we saw that coming. Yeah. And then they're, but what that I think told us is, like, people kind of start reliving the season. They just really get into it. Everything melts away, and it's a time machine. You're back in 82 for a couple hours.
Well, I've seen it at theaters, both at the premiere and then on Monday, and I know other people have put on socials about it. People are basically tailgating and coming with Brewers jerseys, and it's like you're basically going to a game.
Yeah, it's we kind of goofed. We should have asked Marcus for a cut of the bar tab or the right. beer tab beforehand, because we could have done okay there.
I think you could have.
Yeah, but it's almost like a concert. It's very, yes. very interesting. But again, gratifying. That, you know, we you know, this wasn't a movie I would say we did to get rich. We did it to say thank you to the team. We did it to say thank you to the city. And I think what we're getting back is, you know, 100 times more than, you know, anything we actually spent on it.
We're here just a couple of blocks from the fantastic sports pub, Underground Pub, here on Hermosa Beach, talking with Kelly Call, producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Seeing it for the second time, Kelly, I mean, you know this better than anybody else. When you watch things several times, you see different stuff. For me, I came away again. First time I saw it, there is no narrator. There's no voice of God, no Morgan Freeman on this, but the narrators are the players and well, all the people in the film. And the first time I'm like, well, it was Robin Yount. For me, it was Robin Yount, Pete Vukovic, and Ted Simmons. The second time I saw it, for my money, my God, Ted Simmons. If he's not in broadcasting, he should be.
He was the toughest interview for us to get.
Really?
When we first contacted him, he had just come from you know, being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And that was delayed a year because of COVID. So he had kind of been dealing with media, press, and everything for, you know, like 2 years, and I think he had just, you know, was kind of done with it. And he was very courteous, but he was like, guys, good luck. But eventually we got him. We got a call. He's like, guys, I'll do your thing.
Wow.
And we got there. We went to St. Louis to film him, and he walks in the door, and he kind of sticks out his hand to shake our hands, and then he says, guys, the only reason I'm here is because Robin Yount asked me to.
Wow.
And we were like, well, we don't care, you're here, so let's get you mic'd up and shoot. And then, you know, for as reluctant as he might have been, he was one of our best interviews. Yeah. I mean, just and that was the thing. I think all these guys really kind of gave of themselves. Mm-hmm. Not to put kind of too fine a point on it, but they went there. Yeah. They went back to that spot, and, you know, for some it was painful. Mm-hmm. You know, Robin Yount's not faking that stuff at the end. It still bugs him to this day. And they all got a little quiet when they got to Game 7.
And I think for me, and now having gone with others as well, that's one of the most poignant. I'm not going to give it away. I want people to experience it for themselves. But We all know the ending of the, you know, that we're not giving anything away by saying no, the Brewers did not win the World Series as it turned out in 1982. But to your point earlier, when you experience all that, when you experience all those games through this film, and then you get to that point where, yeah, they didn't win it, and you see this emotion on these grown men, and you realize the impact, not just what I came away with, it wasn't so much about themselves not winning it, but they felt so terrible for the community.
I think the community and each other.
Right.
It was such a tight-knit group of guys. And, you know, the thing that, you know, I think Gorman said, you know, there were superstars on the team. There was, you know, Molitor and Yount, obviously. But nobody was too high or too low.
Right.
And, you know, they were giving each other a hard time from the minute they walked in the morning to whatever bar they closed that night.
Right.
But I think, you know, and people made a big deal about them, you know, going out, oh, they went out and partied, but that's what bonded them,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, no man left behind at the bar, and there were a couple stories that never quite made it into the movie where, you know, somebody got a little lippy and, you know, in another town, and, you know, they, all for one for all, they took care of each other.
I think it's just remarkable. The film is just a bit outside the movie, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, in theaters across Wisconsin now. Marcus Theaters have been fantastic, but now expanding to a couple of independent theaters across Wisconsin. Particularly, we've had a lot of calls, I know, during previous shows from folks in northern Wisconsin. But now if you live anywhere near Rhinelander or Eau Claire starting this weekend, you could get out there and see this as well. You can find all the listings on justabitoutsidethemovie.com. And, of course, follow it on all the socials as well. It's just it's a remarkable film, and I'm so happy that, I guess, someone who, you know, as a guy who's in media, who loves media, as my friends will say, it's heartening to me that in today's day and age, and again, there's nothing about hating on any genre movie out there, but when there's all the CGI stuff and everything else, and that's what's really doing well at movie theaters, it's heartening to me what it says about us as the movie-going public, that people will still come out and see this kind of movie.
I think, and you know, I think I learned this working in television for a long time. The most powerful thing that can get people to, you know, try a TV show or go see a movie is basically their friends saying, "You got to go see this." And I think we've benefited immensely from, you know, everybody who says, "Hey, I really loved your movie." Mm-hmm. We go, "Well, thank you, but please tell your neighbor, please tell your friend, please tell the guys you play poker with, or, you know, the women at the club, or the church basement, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, please tell people." And I think that's had an amazing impact.
We're going to come back, more conversation and coffee with Kelly Call here on Hermosa Beach, just a couple blocks down from beautiful Underground Pub. What's it take to make an independent movie in 2024? We'll ask Kelly Call and get the answer. Stay with us. We're live from L.A. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Working 6 days a week, wearing holes in the soles of the shoes on my feet. Been dreaming of getting away since I don't know.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show, live on location here in the greater Los Angeles area, specifically just a couple of blocks down from the Underground Pub, our new unofficial, I'll call it official, sports bar. We're out here in Los Angeles. We are live on Hermosa Beach. Our special guest this hour, Kelly Call, producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, former president of CBS Entertainment, and also a great coffee guy. And we should mention, Kelly, at least a part owner in the Underground Pub.
Part owner, yeah.
That's fantastic. You're an eclectic guy.
You know, I ran a bar when I was in school in Madison.
Really? Which one? Can you say?
It was a place called Rick's, which is a church now, which is its own weird thing. It should never be a church. You know, I caught the bug. Yeah. And, you know, probably 16 years ago, a buddy of mine, my partner at the bar, family sold their business. He was looking for something to do, and he's like, "Do you remember anything about running a bar?" And I said, "Well, not much, but a little." And so we opened a bar together, and we've tried to make it kind of Wisconsin friendly. You know, we're a Packer bar, we're a Badger bar, and you know, have cheese curds, brats from time to time, and you know, just. I think what's cool about Wisconsin bars, we tried to kind of import to make it just a very friendly, welcoming, you know, nice sports bar.
Well, I came down last night because I've been to L.A. a few times, and I understand L.A. traffic. And I thought, well, I want to know where I'm going tomorrow morning. So I drove down last night, and I had a fantastic, and I'm not just saying this, it was a great cheesesteak sandwich at the bar, watched a little of the Brewers and had a beer and then headed back up. But it's a great place. And I got friends out here that live out here who are huge Packer fans, and I was staying at their place, Dahlia and Nelson, and they're ecstatic because Nelson now can bring his son. He goes, I can't watch the Packers. He goes, we're going down there now for Packer games.
We'd love to have them.
I'll be there.
It's the Packers are, you know, the I don't know that anybody travels like the Packers, and I don't know that anybody has in different cities has as many probably bars as the Packers have.
Right.
You know, I'd like to say we're the only Packer bar in LA, but we're not even close. There's a bunch of them. That's the way these fans are.
Talk about a little bit, Kelly, living out here in Los Angeles area. You see a lot of Packer people. You see a lot of Badger folks. I mean, you know, the old story. I've had the pleasure of going to three different Rose Bowls, and of course, it was kind of started back in the day, the Rose Bowl, for trying to get the Midwesterners out of the cold weather and get them out here to California. But there's a lot of Wisconsinites out here, particularly in the entertainment industry, which is what you're in. There's a lot of connections between Wisconsin and Hollywood.
There's many more people in entertainment than you would, you know, would ever think. From, you know, the Zucker brothers, you know, who did Airplane, to, you know, just I think writers and producers on series you watch every day. We did an event in the spring with the Alumni Association, and we tried to invite all the people working out here in entertainment together to just have a beer and meet each other. We're a little behind the curve on that, which we're working to close the gap, but so many more than you'd ever think. And then you just run into them every day in casual talk. I meet somebody, oh, you went to Wisconsin. I got a buddy who went to Wisconsin. And it happens all the time. So Wisconsin is very well represented out here, more so than people would think.
That's fantastic. And, of course, you know, former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, a graduate of University of Superior, rather.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So we tried. We put a call. We actually had a contact. We put a call in. We have not gotten the governor yet, but we're trying. So that'd be fantastic.
Would not come out today?
The governor would not come out today, but we're trying. Because I think it's a – have you ever met him?
I have not met him, no.
But I mean, it's a cool story. Just, you know, an immigrant who does – great, not just in entertainment, but in business. And then, you know, this political niche. I mean, I think what he did in getting fair maps out here in California, using his stardom, his power, and his own wealth to just put these prop up in California here, you could go right to, we would call it referendum back in Wisconsin, but a ballot initiative. And he ends up, you know, taking on his own party and the Democrats and gets fair maps for California.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's I thought that was a cool thing.
I think he's still well-received and well-thought of as a, you know, as a governor.
Yeah. We're talking to Kelly about a number of things, and I really so much appreciate the generosity of your time here because there's so many facets about you and so much insight. Only about 2.5 minutes here before next break. Talk a little bit about what it's like making an independent film in 2024. and you and Sean Hannis, your production partner, did this pretty much on your own.
We did it on our own. We shopped it around and, you know, got nice responses at, you know, primarily, you know, streamers that, you know, all the big ones you could think of. And everyone was very polite and, you know, ESPN, we went down the road with them a little
really?
Bit. And ultimately I got the feeling that people felt this was just kind of a small picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, it's Milwaukee, it's 40 years ago. You know, if this had been the Yankees, I think we would have sold it in 10 seconds.
Wow.
But we were, you know, we were, I guess the Brewer theme is undaunted for the postseason. And we were like, no, we're going to make this thing. And so, you know, we shot Lean and Mean. But I think, you know, you've seen the movie. I think it looks
fantastic.
You know, looks like a movie that would cost much, much more.
Yeah.
So we just tried to be clever and smart and you know, stick to a budget and really get the things that were important to us, which were making the interviews look good. And then, you know, getting some of these clips was a challenge. But, you know, we got there, so it was fine. And then putting it, you know, putting it together. And now, you know, Marcus kind of gave us a lifeline to exhibit it in Wisconsin. And then we, you know, when we talked about it, we're like, well, this is an opportunity to get it in front of the fans who it would mean the most to.
Right.
And it would mean the most to us for them to see it. And I think, again, that's paid off. And, you know, as much as we would love people to go see it in theaters this weekend, you know, we've also heard from people around the country are like, how can I see this? How can I see this? And, you know, to those folks, it's like we're working on it. We're hoping to get it to you soon.
Is there anything you can announce yet for other locations?
Nothing we can announce yet. I think, you know, we may have another Chicago location coming online next week. And, you know, we're hoping, you know, stay in Marcus Theaters for another week, perhaps.
Yeah.
Our Monday to Wednesday for week two was only down like 10% from week one, which is like semi-unheard of from what I understand in the movie business.
That's incredible. We're going to come back here live just a couple blocks down from the Underground Pub on Hermosa Beach in beautiful California. The sun is out. If Todd had guns, the guns would be out. But I got no guns. But I do have Kelly Call. He'll rejoin us after the break. Stay tuned for news, weather, and sports. Then continued here live in Los Angeles on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show live in the greater Los Angeles area. Here just a couple of blocks down from the Underground Pub, the official sports pub, the Badger Pub, the Packer Pub, the Brewer Pub of the Tattle Ball Show. Whenever we're in Los Angeles, which might be a while till we're here again, but we're here now.
Maybe more often.
Maybe more often that we have a place to go. Yeah. Exactly. Here on beautiful Hermosa Beach, joined by our special guest this hour. He is the producer of the great new movie called Just, a bit outside the store of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, former president of CBS Entertainment, a coffee guy, and yes, a Wisconsin guy, an alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison here in California. The sun's out, Kelly. The
sun is coming out. It's going to get toasty pretty quick here.
It's going to get fantastic. Again, just want to mention this to people that might be joining us now. After the bottom of the hour, new theaters, of course, just a bit outside, has been in Marcus Theaters first 3 weeks here, and now expanding into places like Eau Claire and Rhinelander. Kelly, do you have those just to remind people where they're
Cedarburg, Portage, Eau Claire, Bayview, Rhinelander, and Country Club Hills, Illinois.
They're very good. So it's
in addition to Marcus Theaters, Green Bay, Appleton, Sheboygan, all around Milwaukee,
La Crosse,
Racine, La Crosse. So it's chances are if you're in Wisconsin, there's something fairly close to you.
Yeah, pretty. Now with going to northern Wisconsin, probably not more than an hour and a half away, you could get to a theater and see this great new film. And it's only in theaters right now. There is, my understanding, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe at some point down the line, but at least right now there's no plans to stream or go to DVD. So if people want to see this, they need to get to theaters.
It's the best way to see it right now. We'll get there eventually, but if you want to see it, and we hope you do in the next, you know, in the next probably couple months now, that's the way to do it.
And also, as we said, the shared experience, being there with people and seeing that, you're not going to get that at home on the couch, unless, I guess, you have a bunch of people over. But just better to go do it now. Get yourself a beverage and some popcorn at your local theater there and experience this all across Wisconsin and in parts of northern Illinois. Kelly, I want to spend a little bit of time, if you don't mind, because this is fascinating to me, and I just really appreciate the chance to chat a little bit about this. Your time at CBS, people who know me know I'm a huge CBS guy. Some of my earliest memories watching were at my grandparents' farm on a black and white television. And, you know, at Channel 3, it was John Karcher and Ted O'Connell anchoring the news.
Wow.
Back in the day. Yeah. And, you know, and there were great shows on CBS, All in the Family, MASH, you know, the list goes on. And, you know, it might sound odd, I guess, but I was a huge daytime drama or soap opera. My grandma Allball, she was a huge fan of both As the World Turns and Young and the Restless. And she was also very religious. And her friends would say, "You watch soap operas?" And she'd say, "Well, you know, all the Young and the Restless, they go to church every Christmas Eve, so it's okay."
I think it's called knowing your audience.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Tell us a little bit about, how many years were you there total?
26 years.
26 years. And during that time, you helped, I know you're very humble about this, but hey, you were the president of, it was basically Les Moonves than you, right?
Yeah, well, there were another layer of execs, there was a team, and a great team that, I mean, when we, kind of went to CBS, and I think I started in 96, mm-hmm. Deep third place, couldn't see first place from where we were. And, but we kind of assembled a great team of people and, put a strategy together of how to get back in the game. And then along the, part of that involved, great programming. Mm. And I think also thinking about programming for all ages. CBS, before I got there, was kind of chasing young people because that was the thing to do, and that's just not who CBS was, so they failed miserably. And little by little, by finding shows like Survivor obviously helped, but CSI, Everybody Loves Raymond, little by little, CBS was able to kind of get back in the game and start competing with NBC and eventually get into first place.
And correct me if I'm wrong, did you greenlight Survivor?
I didn't greenlight it. I was, part of the team, I think, that, went to the boss and said, "This seems really fun. Can we try it?" I think people now, they see so much, crazy reality TV. It's probably hard to put yourself back in, the 2000-ish and, think about what a crazy idea it was to go into our boss and say, "Hey, we want to put people on an island and not feed them." And they'll throw one off every week. And I remember the reaction was, "You want to do what?" And then, because it was a summer show, to our boss's credit, he let us try it. And it's
still on today?
It's still on today. And it was a project everybody just kind of like, I think everybody thought the odds were long, but it was something that excited all of us. It was a new concept. It was a new form of television.
Yeah. We're talking with Kelly Call. If you'd like to call in, ask a question to Kelly and chat with us a little bit, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We have a great audience. All I'm going to say is be respectful. I mean, he's not going to give us the inside gossip of what stars are doing. You understand? This isn't, TMZ. But if you have a general question and something you've always wanted to ask about network television or whatnot, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the line, and Mr. Zahmer's back home in Madison. We'll get it to us. In your time taking the network from third place, or helping take it from third place to first place, and now looking at the landscape today, what's changing in broadcast television, but in entertainment as a whole? What are some of the biggest changes you've seen?
Well, the biggest change is obviously the move to streaming. Mm-hmm. When I started, it was a little bit of broadcast versus cable. I think broadcast very much held its own for a long time, and in certain respects still does. Still a lot of the most watched shows on television are on broadcast, including sports, and the NFL occupies 99 of the top 100 shows every year. So broadcast still has its place, but you can't deny, what a Netflix or a Disney Plus or these other streamers have done to the marketplace. And I guess when I was growing up, and probably you were growing up, you turned on your TV and you went around the channels or pulled up the channel guide and
the TV guide
surfed around and said, "All right, what's on tonight?" Yeah. And I think that one of the big changes is people now are maybe going to that streamer first to see what to find something versus what's on live. That concept of I need to see it right now is something that if you're maybe under 30 or so, that's just like a foreign concept. What do you mean I have to watch it right now? I can watch it anytime I want.
It seems to me that, and, you know, I don't mean to talk derogatorily about viewers. I think it's just people's habits now. But people want it, like, well, I'll watch something when I want to watch it, when it's convenient for me, which growing up where we did seems completely foreign because it was like, no, it was, you know, to use a phrase from the other network, must-see TV. You know, I mean, you wanted to be there, and then you wanted to be able to talk about it with your friends at school or whatever the next day, and there's something lost in that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like we were talking about the movie, the communal experience has kind of sadly been lost. On the other hand, yeah, you can, if people miss it, now you can still catch up and you can still see it, and your friend says, hey, have you seen this? Mm. Happened to us the other day. Our cousin was like, hey, you got to watch the show. And we were able to catch up, and we kind of liked it.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison with a question about this great new film, Just a Bit Outside. Kurt, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, first I wanted to say thank you very much. As I sat and watched the movie, I enlisted in the Army in late of 82. And as the movie progressed and we kept on having clips of broadcasts from news, television sets, I was immediately massive flashback. I could see myself where I was at the time almost in those clips. It was quite exhilarating.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for the kind words.
All right. Have a good day.
Hey, appreciate it, Kurt. Thank you so much. I echo that. Thank you for your service, Kurt. Really, really appreciate it. Let's go quickly right here, maybe just up the road. I'm not sure. L.A. Tom, listening here in Los Angeles. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling in. What do you got for us today, L.A. Tom?
Thank you so much for everything you do. You know, being the person that lives out here in Los Angeles with Civic Media, I can feel like I still live there, but I do get some benefits of being out here. But what I'd like to say is that in terms of the media, you know, I think what's missing is actually a cultural experience that we all go through now because of streaming. I know Kelly's saying in terms of, you know, hey, did you watch that or whatever, but it's been segmented so much. And you were talking before, Todd, about the fact that even the soaps, you know, now they don't even have NBC, you know, Days of Our Lives anymore. Now it's Peacock. And a lot of people have to, you know, cough up some of that money. And the thing is, they don't have the money to be able to do that. Years ago, the only thing that was on regular cable in the Wisconsin area was Fox. They didn't have other alternatives like MSNBC and stuff because those are all paid subscriptions. I think also because of the, you know, unfortunately, Bill Clinton, with the Telecommunications Act of 1993 and ownership, it really, really messed up a lot of things in terms of segmenting it. And CBS, you know, became no longer CBS News, where they were part of the actual news station and they had to show it. But it was they dropped it into their entertainment division. You know, Les Moonves said famously, you know, Donald Trump is not good for the United States of America, but he's great for CBS. You know, that's sad. That's a sad commentary on our country. But I do think that, you know, like as an example, the one cultural thing that we all do now that we all have in common is kind of a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We all watch it. We all kind of watch it together. But, you know, it used to be shows like Seinfeld. Or it used to be, you know, something that we all had in common. And I think that's missing in our country. So I think this baseball movie and Brewers movie is incredible because it does bring something that everyone does have in common into the theater. Yeah. And I think that's missing in our country.
We're up against the clock, but thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. Kelly, a lot to unpack there. Any comments on it?
Well, I think Tom's right. It's you know, we used to talk a lot about what is a hit these days. You know, you used to know what a hit was because, as he was saying, something like Seinfeld, you'd look at the ratings the next morning, and, you know, 30 million people watched. It was like, and yeah, the odds are when you went to the office and said, did you see that last night? A lot of people did. Yeah. And I do think that's something that's lost. I'm not sure you can put that genie back in the bottle. It's just the media's evolving, and, you know, we have to evolve with it or figure out how.
And Seinfeld was, you know, your equal at NBC, Warren Littlefield. Right? He was the guy at the time that was there when Seinfeld. They were not a hit the first year. And I mean, could that no. room to grow exist in today's climate?
Yes and no. The pressure then, I mean, that was a group of people saying we're leaving the show on because we believe in it, period. There was no probably reason in season one to renew it for season two. But I do think because the numbers for broadcast have come down a little bit from what they were, that actually in a weird way takes the pressure off a little bit. And there were times where we would say, you know, well, I don't know that we can cancel the show and do any better with something else. So you can give shows a little longer runway, I guess, to try to find an audience.
You don't have to tell me the show, but did you ever make a decision like that, a show that there probably wasn't a great numbers reason, but you're just like, I believe in it, and you let it go another season?
God, I gotta think about that.
You can think about it. I'm not trying to ask you. I'm just curious.
I suppose I should have an example at hand. No. But I don't at the second. I'll think about it. But you know, people, you know, that's the programming people. That's always their job, is to fight and defend their shows.
So it's segmented by show within the company.
Yeah. And, you know, people will always ask, why did you cancel the show? I love that show. That was my favorite show. Generally, it's a more rational discussion than people think.
Really?
Right. You know, a lot of time, dollars generally. Yeah. Yeah, everything comes down to dollars. But I think people would be happy to know we give it a real fair discussion before we make those moves.
Our show has been greenlit for another 10 minutes, at least. We'll come back and talk live here from Hermosa Beach, just down from the Underground Pub with Kelly Call. It's the All Ball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show, live on location from beautiful Hermosa Beach, just in the greater Los Angeles area, down the street from our new official sports pub for the show here in Los Angeles, the Underground Pub, where I was last night. If you're ever out here, maybe you're coming out this weekend yet for the Wisconsin game versus USC. It's a great opportunity to get down here to the beach and check out some of the great Brewers games here. Not many left, of course, in the regular season. The Brewers are assured a postseason bid, and then you can hang out here. And that's part of the reason that we came out here, is that to cover this Badger game and against USC on Saturday. And you can hear it live, of course, on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you don't live in one of the stations like WRCE in Richland Center that carries the game over the air with Matt LaPay and Mark Towser, you can certainly just download the Civic Media app and then go to WRCE on Saturday at 2:30 or just before for the pregame show with Mike Keller. And then you can listen to the game for free because we're allowed to stream these University of Wisconsin games. And the cool thing is it's not just for football, but it was announced that the basketball team is going to be out here in Los Angeles, both USC and UCLA this year. So if you're out here in the area, that's part of why we came out here, is to give you a little bit of the lay of the land, you understand? It's not just for Rose Bowls that we're going to be coming out anymore. It's going to be for regular season games now that USC and UCLA, along with Washington and Oregon, are part of the Pac-10. Joining us at the table once again here on Hermosa Beach, my fine waiter for this morning, Kelly Call. No, I mean, this guy does it all. I mean, you're fantastic, and we appreciate you, all the great folks at the Underground Pub, and just for the generosity of your time, Kelly.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the shout-outs for our movie and not to mention my bar, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a bit outside, and Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin still this weekend and now expanding to some independent theaters in places like Rhinelander and Eau Claire. You can find it all listed at justabitoutsidethemovie.com and, of course, the movie about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. People on the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. War II. He's not just a producer of a great movie. He's not just a great guy who likes coffee and a Badger alum. He was a former president of CBS Entertainment. And Cindy calling in from Appleton, listening on WISS in Oshkosh. Cindy, thanks so much for your patience and holding. You had a question about how decisions are made to put shows on the air. Cindy, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I wanted to talk about something that I feel was very irresponsible programming. And that was the show 9/11 that had that B-nator, whatever they called it. I mean, people, when they see these kind of things, they get aggravated at whatever species it is. And we have a pollination problem the way it is and pollinator problem. And now you've unleashed a show that is going to turn people against bees because nobody knows the difference between a killer bee or a honeybee. And I thought that was just really irresponsible, and I would not have been able to forgive myself if I would not have been able to bring this forward.
I appreciate it, Cindy. Was that a CBS show?
I don't think so.
I think it was on another network, as Johnny Carson used to say. but as my old communications professor at UW Platteville, Jack O'Neill, used to say, he used to draw a dollar sign on the board in our Comms 101 class and say it all comes down to that. I mean, is that still driving a lot of these decisions, Kelly, or are there other factors?
Absolutely. There's always room for, I want to say, quality, and I think people sometimes will roll their eyes and like, well, who cares about quality? It's all about the almighty dollar, and there's some truth to that. But there's also, there's a path where both meet, and if you can have a quality show that finds an audience, you tend to be rewarded financially for that. To the question about the bees, sometimes it's, I'll be honest. Sometimes it's, Hollywood people, writers, producers who maybe don't understand the, it was like, oh, we're doing a show about, crazy disasters. And well, how about bees? Well, we can't do tornadoes anymore. Let's do bees. And maybe they don't do quite the research they should.
Does that exist, or is that just a figment of people's imagination of Hollywood? Are there really like pitch rooms like, is there some executive with a cigar going, Helen, give me, so-and-so on the line. I got something for you. Let's do bees. I mean, is that is that just all made up?
I think it's a little overblown. there's probably a little bit of truth to it. People sit around and think about, all right, what can we give people that, they haven't been shown before? There's another road, of course, that this is working. How can we do more of that? Which is, how you end up with spin-off and spin-off of spin-off on a lot of shows.
By the way, I just got to say this. CSI Miami, one of the best all-time shows ever. And my God, was I just, I realize there are all kinds of factors. But for my money, I still watch that. The way it was shot, the writing, the acting. I mean, it was a fantastic. I mean, for me, it was the best of all the CSIs.
That was one that was a tricky decision. CSI was so popular. And then the question is, are we going to cannibalize we called it the mothership, the original CSI? So I think, most of the time when we make decisions to do some kind of spinoff, the question is, how can we make it, how can we capture the essence of the original but make it look different? Yeah. So for like CSI Miami, completely different color palette, right. The oranges and the...
The video, the cinematography.
Beautiful. The beach, yeah. And they really kind of knocked that out of the park. So it wouldn't be like if you watched the regular CSI and then a couple days later watched CSI Miami, it wouldn't feel like you were watching the same show twice.
Yeah. Let's go quickly. We have Cam from Appleton on the line. Cam, can you get it in? What have we got here, Zomers? We're up against the clock.
No, we have 40 seconds.
Can you stay around for one more second?
As long as you want.
All right. This man is fantastic. Cam, if you can hang on through the news, we'll get you on the air with Kelly after the news. This is fantastic, folks. We're here for the Badgers versus USC. And yes, we will get to talking about the game as well. You can hear it across the Wisconsin Badger Network as well. We're here on Hermosa Beach. Kelly Call, Todd Allball, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned for Hour 2 straight ahead.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.